It was a frosty morning in late winter when I opened the front door at Skeldale House and saw Mr. Barge standing on the front step. He raised his black Homburg a few inches above the sparse strands of silver hair, and his pink features relaxed into a smile of gentle benevolence. He had always treated me as a favourite son, and I took it as a compliment because he was a man of immense prestige.
"Mr. Herriot," he murmured, and bowed slightly.
The bow was rich in dignity, and matched the dark morning coat, striped trousers, and shiny leather briefcase. "Please come in, Mr. Barge," I said, and ushered him into the house. He always called at midday, and stayed for lunch. My young boss, Siegfried Farnan, a man not easily overawed, invariably treated him with deference, and in fact the visit was something of a state occasion. The modern rep breezes in, chats briefly about blood levels of antibiotics and steroids, says a word or two about bulk discounts, drops a few data sheets on the desk, and hurries away. In a way, I feel rather sorry for these young men, because, with a few exceptions, they are all selling the same thing. Mr. Barge, on the other hand, like all his contemporaries, carried a thick catalogue of exotic remedies, each one peculiar to its own firm. Siegfried pulled out the chair at the head of the dining table.
"Come and sit here, Mr. Barge."
"You are very kind." The old gentleman inclined his head slightly and took his place. As usual, there was no reference to business during the meal, and it wasn't until the coffee appeared that Mr. Barge dropped his brochure carelessly on the table, as though this part of the visit was an unimportant afterthought. Siegfried and I browsed through the pages, savouring the exciting whiff of witchcraft which had been blown from our profession by the wind of science. At intervals, my boss placed an order.
"I think we'd better have a couple of dozen lectures, Mr. Barge."
"Thank you so much." The old gentleman flipped open a leather-bound notebook and made an entry with a silver pencil.
"And we're getting a bit low on fever drinks, aren't we, James?"
Siegfried glanced round at me.
"Yes. We'll need a gross of them, if you please."
"I am most grateful," Mr. Barge breathed, noting that down too. My employer murmured his requests as he riffled through the catalogue. A Winchester of spirits of nitre, and another of formalin, castration clams, triple bromide, Stockholm tar, all the things we never use now. And Mr. Barge responded gravely to each one with, "I do thank you," or "Thank you indeed," and a flourish of his silver pencil. Finally, Siegfried lay back in his chair.
"Well now, Mr. Barge, I think that's it. Unless you have anything new..."
"As it happens, my dear Mr. Farnan, we have." The eyes and the pink face twinkled. "I can offer you our latest product. Soothe It, an admirable sedative." In an instant, Siegfried and I were all attention. Every animal doctor is keenly interested in sedatives. Anything which makes our patients more amenable is a blessing. Mr. Barge extolled the unique properties of Soothe It, and we probed for further information.
"How about unmaternal sows?" I asked. "You know, the kind which savage their young. I don't suppose it's any good for that."
"My dear young sir..." Mr. Barge gave me the kind of sorrowing smile a bishop might bestow on an erring curate. "Soothe It is a specific for this condition. A single injection to a farrowing sow, and you will have no problems."
"Well, that's great," I said.
"And does it have any effect on car sickness in dogs?" The noble old features lit up with quiet triumph. "Another classical indication, Mr. Herriot. Soothe It comes in tablet form for that very purpose."
"Splendid!"
Siegfried drained his cup and stood up.
"Better send us a good supply, then. And if you will excuse us, we must start the afternoon round, Mr. Barge. Thank you so much for calling."
We all shook hands. Mr. Barge raised his Homburg again on the front step, and another gracious occasion was over. Within a week, the new supplies from Cargill and Sons arrived. Medicines were always sent in tea chests in those days, and as I prized open the wooden lid, I looked with interest at the beautifully packed phials and tablets of Soothe It. And it seemed uncanny that I had a call for the new product immediately. That same day, one of the town's bank managers, Mr. Ronald Beresford, called to see me. "Mr. Herriot," he said, "as you know, I have worked here for several years, but I have been offered the managership of a larger branch down south, and I leave tomorrow for Portsmouth." From his gaunt height, he looked down at me with the unsmiling gaze which was characteristic of him.
"Portsmouth? Gosh, that's a long way."
"Yes, it is. About 300 miles. And I have a problem."
"Really?"
"I have, I fear. I recently purchased a 6-month-old Cocker Spaniel, and he is an excellent little animal, but for the fact that he behaves peculiarly in the car.
In what way?
He hesitated. Well, he's outside now. If you've got a minute to spare, I could demonstrate.
Of course, I said, I'll come with you now.
We went out to the car. His wife was in the passenger seat, as fat as her husband was thin, but with the same severe, unbending manner. She nodded at me coldly, but the attractive little animal on her lap gave me an enthusiastic welcome. I stroked the long, silky ears.
He's a nice little fella.
Mr. Beresford gave me a sidelong glance.
Yes, his name is Coco, and he really is quite charming.
It's only when the engine is running that the trouble begins. I got in the back, he pressed the starter, and we set off. And I saw immediately what he meant. The spaniel stiffened and raised his head till his nose pointed at the roof. He formed his lips into a cone and emitted a series of high-pitched howls.
Ow! Yow! Wow! Wow!
Wailed Coco. It really startled me because I'd never heard anything quite like it. I don't know whether it was the perfectly even spacing of the hoots, their piercing, jarring quality, or the fact that they never stopped, which drove the sound deep into my brain. But my head was singing after a 2-minute circuit of the town. I was vastly relieved when we drew up again outside the surgery. Mr. Beresford switched off the engine, and it was as though he had switched off the noise, too, because the little animal relaxed instantly and began to lick my hand.
Yes, I said.
You have a problem, without a doubt. He pulled nervously at his tie.
And it gets louder the longer you drive.
Let me take you a bit further round and...
No, I put in hastily. That won't be necessary. I can see exactly how you are placed.
But you say you haven't had Coco for long.
Well, he isn't much more than a pup. I'm sure he'll get used to the car in time.
Well, very possibly he will. Mr. Beresford's voice was taut with apprehension. But I'm thinking of tomorrow. I've got to drive all the way to Portsmouth with my wife and this dog, and I've tried car sickness tablets without result.
A full day with that appalling din was unthinkable. But at that moment, the image of Mr. Barge rose before me. He had sprouted wings and floated in front of my eyes like an elderly guardian angel. What an incredible piece of luck.
As it happens, I said with a reassuring smile, there is something new for this sort of thing, and by coincidence we have just received a batch of it today. Come in and I'll fix you up.
Well, thank heavens for that. Mr. Beresford examined the box of tablets.
I just give one, 30 minutes before the journey, and all will be well.
That's the idea, I replied cheerfully. I've given you a few extra for future journeys.
I'm most grateful. You've taken a great load off my mind.
He went out to the car, and I watched as he started the engine. As if in response to a signal, the little brown head on the back seat went up and the lips pursed.
Yow! 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 Yow!
Coco yowled, and his master shot me a despairing look as he drove away. I stood on the steps for some time, listening incredulously.